Namo Vishnupadaya Krishnapastaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Shamini Tanamade Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nivasesha Sunyavadi Prashkatya Dezatarane. Today we will chant 32 rounds and we have one day of instructional classes behind us. And tomorrow we will chant 64 rounds, Krishna willing. Now, as we had our one day instructional day behind us, what instruction are you going to carry into your chanting today? Think for a moment and then raise your hand and I'll call on a few devotees. But think first. What instruction or what inspiration are you going to carry into your chanting today and then tomorrow? Think and raise your hand if you'd like to say. Srimati, attention is a symptom of my love for Krishna's holy names. Thank you very much. Yes, Sridhar Raman. Srila Prabhupada has given us a mind-blowing gift. What is that? The holy name. Say more about that. What? Because yesterday, when we showed that mind-blowing slideshow, or video, or whatever it was, we didn't specifically concentrate on the holy name. So what is the connection that you see in that? You were looking at Srila Prabhupada in New York. He came from Vrindavan. He's a Vrindavan man. And, keep going.
Well, you can understand the heart of someone who would do that.
A person from Vrindavan who took it upon himself to give the world the holy name. And there's one more piece in this puzzle. And if you allow me, I will fill it in. That through the holy name, Prabhupada wanted us to go to Vrindavan. This is the missing piece, not in what you said, but there we are all over the world. And in one sense, in a very real sense, we are rotting. When we take old food and put it somewhere, it decomposes, it rots. And what is going to happen to every single person in this world, in time? This body, who we think of as ourselves, is going to rot. It's going to decompose. It is decomposing as we sit here. And along with every rotting substance, there comes a terrible smell. So that is one of the reasons we bathe every day, to get rid of the rottingness of our bodies. Because it's happening. It's happening before our eyes. And yet, we are unconscious of it. And Srila Prabhupada, being such a servant of his own Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was such a servant of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, all the way back to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came to this world for internal and external reasons, but he wanted to give us, take something very wonderful. Take the land of Vrindavan in its most special mood, unat ujara rasam sabhakti siyam. He wanted to give us something so wonderful, that Krishna himself wishes to taste that sweetness. God Himself, who has everything, wants to taste the sweetness of the devotion of the devotees in Braja. And here I am in some little part of the material world that we think of as our place, and trying to find some happiness and some security within our rotting material bodies, within a rotting material world. Our situations, every situation in the material world, as the poet Govinda Das has said, is flickering like a drop of water on a lotus petal, a lotus flower. A drop of water, the lotus petal is waxy, and the water cannot stay there for more than a moment. And yet we're trying to find something of substance where it simply is not. And it is so difficult to even intellectually convince ourselves of this. And even if we intellectually convince ourselves of this, it's so difficult to imbibe that to the depths of our consciousness of who we are. Now, Mahaprabhu said, take this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because through the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you will gain everything. It will carry you. It will carry us to the lotus feet of Krishna in Braja. But it has to be chanted. Ultimately, it has to be chanted in the mood, the consciousness that the residents of Vrindavan are chanting in when they're calling out Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And something so wonderful, after Krishna held up Govardhan Hill and put it down again, and then in the next chapter it describes the activities, the residents of Vrindavan were astounded by what Krishna had done. After all, he was holding up the hill. This young, tender boy was holding up the hill for 7 days, and they were watching him, and they loved him. They loved him so much, and look what he was doing. So they asked Nanda Maharaj, what is it with your boy? And he said, all I can say is to repeat what Gargacharya has told us, Narayana Samoguna. He's like equal to Lord Narayan. He has those qualities, guna. Then in the next chapter, in 27, Lord Indra comes with Sarabi to apologize and for his offense. So the waters that purify one from one's offense are the kunda that we will visit and chant by this morning, the Sarabi kunda, which is so close. Here we are, so close. Now we have to make our consciousness so close. And that's what we're trying to do. We spoke about this point at the Govardhan retreat. There's an attunement that has to occur if we want to be in Braja. An attunement of our consciousness to the fine, the most fine and subtle, prema-filled consciousness of the residents of Vrindavan. If we want to be there. Because one's not there physically, one's there by consciousness. So in the 27th chapter, Lord Indra apologizes and Sarabi offers her prayers and rejects Indra as their king and protector and says, you, Krishna, now you are Govinda. Because look what this protector did to us. He tried to kill us all the cows. So when we call out to Govinda, we are asking to place ourselves in his protection and shelter. That's the first prime stage in that attunement of consciousness, is to have our consciousness not turning away from Krishna, but aligned towards Krishna as He is ours and we are His. Instead of identifying with so many other things of this world, identify with being Krishna's. Not being Krishna, obviously, but being Krishna's. And Krishna being ours. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Pranadhan, the wealth of our life, that which is valuable, truly valuable in our life. And then in the next chapter, in the 28th chapter, right before the Rasa dance begins, Nanda Maharaj, the Ekadasi, after Krishna lives Govardhan Hill, Nanda Maharaj is bathing at a very tricky time, early, to break the Ekadasi. He bathes in Yamuna and he is taken away by the Varuna Dutas, the messengers of Varuna. And when Nanda Maharaj, because from the point of view of the residents of Vrindavan, the other cowherd men who are with Nanda Maharaj, they see Nanda Maharaj walking into the water to bathe, and then suddenly he disappears. It appears that he is drowned. And immediately, because Anena Sarva Dogani Yuyam Anjas Tarishyata Gagacharja has told Nanda Maharaj and the residents of Vrindavan that Krishna will save you, Sarva Durgani, from all difficulties. It is Krishna who will save you from all difficulties. And because they are simple-hearted, simple and pure-hearted, Brijvasis, they simply accept that. And any time there is any difficulty, they call out for Krishna. They call out full-heartedly for Krishna. So they called out immediately when they saw Nanda Maharaj disappear into the waters of the Yamuna. They called out, "Oh Krishna, oh Rama, oh Krishna." And Krishna at that time, on one level, was not there. He was far away. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said he was sleeping upon a bed of flowers. He doesn't say anymore, but he says he was sleeping on a bed of flowers. But when they called out to Krishna, they used the word, Sukadev uses the word upashutva, which means he was nearby, upa. He was nearby and heard. Because wherever Krishna is, his eyes and ears are everywhere. So wherever we are, if we will call out to him, he is there. Because of this word, upashutva, he is there. Now how do you feel about that? How does that make you feel, Sudhi Prabhu? Good, it makes you feel good. Yeah, it makes you feel good. Because whenever we call out to Krishna, he's right there. Now this is, in one sense, this will be the main part I've wanted to say. But other topics will come up. Because there has to be a quality of our calling to a quality of consciousness, a quality of heart that causes Krishna to be fully present. Because we're going to go to Sarabhi Kund and we're going to chant and chant and chant and chant Krishna's holy names. But there should be a quality to the chanting. But I would like to take a step backwards and talk about a person who chanted with poor quality in his chanting. but not terrible quality, but not the greatest quality, not like the residents of Vrindavan at all. I wanted to speak about Ajamil, because Ajamil was a terrible sinner. He had a good birth in a pure Brahminical family, but he didn't act properly in his life. And why didn't he act properly? Because he had some impression in his consciousness that was sensual. And then one day, even though he was a pure soul, pure Brahmin boy, he was walking and he saw a young low-class man embracing a young low-class woman in public. And that sanskara, that impression, entered his eyes. Seeing this sensuality entered his eyes, and it ignited the flames of his own sensuous desires. He didn't want to, but it was overpowering for him. And he invited that prostitute into his house, and he even threw out his young and beautiful, chaste, pure wife, and he began his relationship with her year after year, year after year, and to supply her needs, he adopted the way of the criminal, stealing, lying, cheating, killing even, gambling, cheating, year after year, meet all the principles he broke due to this association with this prostitute. He fathered children by her. And then, when he was 86 years old, which is quite elderly, even older than I am, and he had a five or six-year-old son named, he had somehow or another, I couldn't find what, there must have been some association at some point with some sadhu who said, this boy you should call Narayan. And naturally, because affection flows to the youngest and most needy, he was very affectionate to his son, whose name was Narayan. And he would call Narayan, 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 Narayan. All the time he would say the name of Narayana, Narayana, Narayana. And then, as it will happen to every single one of us, the time for his death occurred. And when one is dying, it's obviously an extremely difficult situation. Pain, complete disorientation, difficulty in breathing. The subtle body is completely disturbed. When it's cold, and we don't like cold, or if we had to use cold water, or something happens that we don't like, our subtle body, our mind becomes disturbed. What to speak of death? How much that will disturb our subtle body, our mind. When the life airs are being churned, when there's pain, the heart, difficulty in breathing. Now, how is that going to affect our subtle body? So naturally, when we're disturbed, we take shelter. We need shelter. So we take shelter usually of when there's some difficulty, of we turn away from Krishna. And Ajamil indeed also turned away from Krishna. And seeking shelter, he called out for his youngest son. Now how much can his six-year-old boy give him any shelter and solace? But he had attachment. So he called out, Narayan, Narayan. And at the same time, as he was dying, and we all know this pastime, the Yamadutas, the messengers of death, came and they took their noose of death to rip him, to pull him from his body, the soul from the body. But the Vishnudutas came. The messengers of Vishnu, of Lord Vishnu, came and they said, "Stop. You cannot take him." Now, death is not in the habit of being stopped. And they were upset. And they said, "What do you mean we can't take him? It is time for his punishment. He has done this, he has done that. He has sinned in 1,000 ways, 1,000,000 ways. His life has been sinful. We will take him to Yamaraj. And he will be punished there for his own good, for his benefit, for his purification." And the Vishnudutas said, "He is sinless. Because he has chanted the name of Narayana, he is sinless. But he has never atoned, performed any prayaschitya, atonement for any of the terrible deeds he has done." And then they said, this is, we're talking about the second chapter of the sixth canto. Then they said a wonderful verse, or actually two verses. They explained that the chanting of Krishna's name is so potent, it is the best way to atone for all sins. And then they give a list of terrible sins. This type of stealing, inappropriate behavior with the wife of one's guru. They talk about murdering a brahmana, incredible sins. And then they say that this is the atonement. Not that this is atonement for it, but if one chants the name of Narayan or Krishna, all the sins, the reactions are completely obliterated, removed, finished, and one is pure. And then, after reciting that list, they summarize the principle and then say something even more. They say, "Sarve sham api agatvam." For one, anyone who has committed all kinds of sins, "idam eva suniskritam." That this chanting of Krishna's names is the greatest or most powerful atonement. But then they say, "Nama viharanam Vishnu." That the name, the chanting of Krishna's names does these things. But it does something even more. Yatastad visya mati. Mati means the attention or intelligence. That visya, it attracts, when we chant Krishna's names, it attracts the attention of Krishna. Chanting Krishna's names completely removes the reactions of all sins, but still, more than that, it attracts the attention of Krishna. Just as if I said the name of our Sangha Thakur, did your consciousness come to me when I said that? If I say anyone's name, Hemi, Chudi, Homan, Mataji, Prashanta, the consciousness, the consciousness comes in that direction. It happens when Krishna hears that when we speak Krishna's name, his consciousness, his attention comes to us. Now, I'll read Prabhupada's purport here and listen very carefully. Yatastad visyamati means his attention. Or mati means what? Mati means intelligence or attention, his consciousness. And his consciousness comes to us. Now, I'll read Prabhupada's translation to this verse. Simply by, and listen carefully, simply by chanting, oh, it is the best means of atonement for one who murders women, the king or his father, or slaughters cows, and for other sinful men, things that are most abominable. Not that one does these things and then says, okay, Narayan, but yet, it removes all the reactions. Now, here's where I would like you to listen especially carefully. Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, such sinful persons may attract the attention of the Supreme Lord, who therefore considers, because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection. Now let us go back to the Sanskrit. The Sanskrit says, Nama Vyaharanam Vishnu Yatastad Vishayamati. That if one, Viharanam means chant, Nama Vyaharanam Vishnu, if one chants the name of Vishnu, Yatastad Vishaya Mati, that Vishnu's name, his that Tad Vishaya means the attention of the Lord comes to him. Mati means attention. Now I'm going to read the last part of the purport again, Prabhupada's translation again, and I'm going to ask you if you hear the difference between what the Sanskrit says and what Prabhupada offers as his translation. Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, such sinful persons may attract the attention of the Supreme Lord, who therefore considers, because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection. What's the difference? What's the difference? Yes. Prabhupada says it may attract the attention of the Lord, but he adds something, as Mataji said. Because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection. Now, why has Prabhupada put this? To find the answer to this, let us read the commentary of part of the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this verse comes to about 10 pages in his glorification of the potency of the holy name. But we will not read that right now. We'll just read one or two short paragraphs. Please listen. It is so important. The names of the Lord, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, may destroy sins. But how can Namabhas be the atonement for thousands of grave sins which cannot be destroyed by thousands of 12-year vows or prayastitta or atonement? Just by chanting Krishna's names without offense, because he was just calling his son, he wasn't thinking, I'm going to sin and then I'm going to chant and sin and chant and sin and chant. He was simply calling for his son. So there was no offense, and his son's name was Narayan. Now, but how could we think one one utterance of the name of Narayan will destroy all that, all the reactions to sin. So someone may have that question. So Vishwanath continues, chanting is the best atonement because it destroys the root of sin. A 12-year vow of atonement, though it destroys the effect of sin, cannot destroy the root of sin. The sinful desire that I want to do this for my enjoyment, that is destroyed by chanting. But still there's more in what Vishwanath says. And this is what I wished to read. But that is not the only result. Because from the chanting of the name of the Lord's mind dwells on that person who chants. And the Lord thinks, this person belongs to me. I will always protect him. And then Vishwanath says, this is Srila Sridhar Swami's, Swami Charan's meaning of the phrase. When we chant Krishna's names, his attention comes to us. It falls upon us. And he thinks, this person belongs to me. I will always protect him. Because, in Prabhupada's translation, because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection. He is mine now. We protect those who we are close to. But Vishwanath's words continue. Hearing his name being chanted and remembering Ajamil, the Lord ordered us, the Vishnu Dutas, the Lord ordered us to bring Ajamil, who is chanting his name. And then there is some, what is called Kamutya Nyaya. Then how much more the Lord will remember a person who chants his name with a service attitude. This is Krishna. This is Krishna. Ho pakayam stana kala kutam jighamsya yad yad swapi lebhi gitam datri uchutam tatonyam kamva dayalam sharanam brajema. Putana came to kill Krishna by putting poison on her breast and offering it to baby Krishna to suck. But she came disguised as a devotee, as someone, disguised only as someone who wished to serve Krishna. And Krishna gave her the position of datri, or nurse in the spiritual world. That which was 99.9% terrible, horrible, devious, malicious, Krishna found that 0.1% and took that and saw that and rewarded that. And when Ajamil was calling out the name of Narayan, Lord Narayan thought, oh, he is calling my name, even though he was calling the name of his son. And he thought, he has called my name. It is my duty to give him protection. And therefore, he sent the Vishnu Dutas. So this is the nature of the person whose names, that supreme person whose names we are chanting. But there's still, so that's wonderful and that's inspiring. I find it wonderful, I find it inspiring, but there's something else I would like to say. I would like to turn it around completely, in the sense that how wonderful it is that I'm chanting Krishna's names and his attention comes to me. He is so kind. But I would like to turn it around to the point of his attention is on me, and what does he see? Oh, how many more? Krishna has his duty, his business, his obligations, his own mood in dealing with his devotees, or not even with his devotees, but someone who just chants his name calling his son. He has his mood and it is so open-hearted. It is so kind. He gives liberation, intimate liberation to Putana. He protects Ajamil. So that's his bhavana, his mood. But what does he see when he looks at me when I'm chanting? His business is one thing, and my business, my concern, is something quite different. What I mean to say is everyone should mind their own business. There's even an accounting software called MYOB, which means mind your own business. And for these days, we should mind our own business. And what is our business? When we're chanting Krishna's names and thinking that, yes, Krishna, out of his kindness and softness of heart, his attention is on me, my business should be to what? To chant his names. While I'm chanting, when I'm sweeping the floor, my business is to sweep it in such a way that he's pleased. And when I'm chanting Krishna's names, my business is to chant in such a way that Krishna is pleased. Now, what will please Krishna? When the residents of Vrindavan call out to Krishna, that is the most pleasing to Krishna, because they're calling out with their own special flavor of mamata, of love, thinking, oh, here is our Lala, here is our Krishna, or here is our Nagar of the hero, the great hero of Braja, Brajendanandana. They call out with such complete attraction for him. He becomes completely overcome and controlled by their calling out to him. He becomes completely in their control. If you have the ability to chant Krishna's names like that, please do so and never stop. But if you don't have that ability, then call out with attachment to Krishna. Oh, Krishna, I don't have that kind of love. By your mercy, please give it to me, but I have no other. I have Krishna, Krishna, just with great attachment. And if we don't have that, we should call out with taste, relishing the sweetness of Krishna's name, liking it. And if we don't have that, We should be firmly focused that I have no other shelter. I have no love for Krishna. I have no real attraction. My heart has so many improper desires in it. I call myself a devotee, but I know, and the people who criticize me, they don't know the worst of it. But yet, I'm fixed in this, that Krishna and His name is so powerful. And Krishna is His name. Let me take shelter. Namasraya kori jatina tumi. Take shelter. Taking shelter of Krishna's names. That is the, we will call that chanting sincerely. That I'm chanting humbly, thinking that what hope do I have other than the names of Krishna? And focused and not wavering from that. And when my mind wanders, I bring it back to that point. If I tour the universe now mentally, and Krishna is conscious of me, yatastad vishayamati, and He's aware of what's going on, not only outside. Outside I'm like this, Hare Krishna, but inside I'm touring the universe. And I'm not there. And this is one difference I've seen between children and adults. If you can get a well-trained child, even I've seen children 3-4 years old who can sit in class, in even a Bhagavatam class, even a long Bhagavatam class. But what happens usually after some time is they start doing things. They start going like this, and then sometimes you see them going like this and like this. And if an adult would do that, you'd think that they're crazy, because they're doing this and jumping around, and then they're going like this to someone and like that. Children, but adults, we learn how to, because this inside, the children, what's going on inside comes out on the outside. But we as adults, we learn the art of hypocrisy. How to sit there with our bodies looking like very, very, very serious and very, very into it. But we're not there at all. We learn the art of doing what we're supposed to do outside, but inside we're following our crazy minds all over the universe. So when we're chanting Krishna's name and Krishna's attention comes to us, He's not only aware of what we are doing on the outside, but of course, Savasya Chaham Riddhe Sanavisto Matta Smitam Gyanam Aponam Cha. He's aware of what's going on inside. How does that make you feel? Huh?
Scared.
But luckily, He's not. He's more generous-hearted than we are. He's most generous-hearted. He's most generous-hearted. Look how He treated Ajamil. Look how He treated Putana. But yet we should know He did not treat Ajamil and Putana in the same way He treated Nanda Maharaj and Subal Sakha and Sridham and all the Braja Gopikas. He treats them special because their consciousness is fully in line and in love with Him. And he's overpowered by them. He's overpowered by them. And this is one main reason why Krishna performs his Braja Leelas, because he wants to show this, that he's overpowered by the love, the spontaneous love of the residents of Vrindavan.
There's one nice verse in the 11th chapter, the 9th verse, 11th chapter, 10th canto.
This is right after Krishna. This is Krishna, one of his Krishna's lalalilas, lalalila, where in this 10th verse, this is the 10th chapter, is a very wonderful chapter of the 10th canto. Because what happens in the 10th chapter? Does anyone know? This is the 11th chapter. In the 10th chapter, it's deliverance of Nalakuvera and Manigriva, which is one of the last pastimes that occur in Gokul. And what happens in the 11th chapter? That's so wonderful, that Krishna steps foot in Vrindavan for the first time. And the Vrindavan Leelas, the Leelas in Vrindavan forest begin. But also before the residents of Gokul leave Gokul for the forest of Vrindavan, there's the pastime of when Krishna turns the fruit of the fruit seller. He comes with, in his very, very sweet and cute way, innocent way, he brings some grains in his hands, because she's asking, if anyone wants fruit, take them from me. And the grains fall from Krishna's hands. But this fruit seller lady, she's just so charmed by this little boy who is so beautiful, and walking towards him with the grains falling from his hands. She's so charmed that she fills his hands with fruits. And he takes them. And then she looks and sees her basket has been filled with jewels. So that happens in the 11th chapter. And then in the 11th chapter, it's described how the older gopis, they would say, Krishna, bring me this, bring me this, bring me that plank, bring me my book, bring me this. And Krishna would go and try to carry the things for them. And that Krishna, if you dance, I will give you half a sweet. There were some complaints on Krishna's quarters and the drama from the Govardhan retreat on this point. And Krishna dances. This Lord of the universe, who's unlimitedly powerful, dances because of the Shuddha Vatsalya Prema of these gopis. And then Sukadeva says, to pure devotees throughout the world who could understand his activities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna exhibited how much he can be subdued by his devotees, his servants. In this way, he increased the pleasure of the Brijbasis by his childhood pastimes. And Prabhupada in his purport said, Krishna performed his childhood activities to increase the pleasure of his devotees. He exhibited these activities not only to the inhabitants of Vrindavan, but also to others who were captivated by his external potency and opulence. Both the internal devotees, who was simply absorbed in love for Krishna, meaning the Brijbasis, and the external devotees, who were captivated by his unlimited power, were informed of Krishna's desire to be submissive to his servants. This is Krishna's most his greatest opulence in a sense. Atma parjanta vadanyata bhakta vatsalya. He desires, he wants to be submissive, to be under the control of his devotees. The all-powerful God, the unlimited God, wants to be under the control of his devotees. So when we chant Krishna's names, understanding something about the qualities of Krishna, we want to take shelter of his holy names, because Abhina Tvam Namanamano, we want to take shelter of him. And we should chant with that mood. Look at my, you know my heart, Krishna. You know my heart better than anyone. If you are not merciful to me, what hope do I have? Oh, Krishna, allow me to chant your holy names with some sincerity. Oh, Krishna, Hare Krishna. And Krishna is aware of that because yatastad visayamati, because his consciousness is on each and every one of us as we chant his names. He is not blind. His consciousness is aware of us. So let us chant like that. And if we can't chant like that even, let us at least try to be there inside, harmonious with outside. At least let us try our best, make our attempt to hear his name, to hear one mantra, to hear one name of Krishna, bringing our consciousness to the task, to the endeavor that we are making to become true devotees, true servants. And we should also keep in mind, because we could think, well, I'm not really a devotee. I'm not really a devotee, because a devotee means one who has devotion. And I don't really have much devotion. I have devotion for many things, but I'm not via satmika buddhi focused. So why will Krishna be merciful and kind to me? We can't even say now, put his attention on me. Why will he do that? Because Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has revealed, and Prabhupada in his purport, in his verse itself, because sometimes we might not read the purport, Prabhupada put that right in the verse itself. So we cannot avoid this wonderful fact, this inspiring and hope-filled fact, that when we chant Krishna's names, Krishna's attention is on us. And of course, there are many ways that attention can be on someone. Because like if a murderer, if his attention is on us, that's very frightening. But if the most kind, all-merciful, all-powerful person's attention is on us, it's invigorating. It gives us life. It gives us hope. So Prabhupada has made sure in the verse itself that we must become aware of this point. That when we chant Krishna's name, yatastad vishayamati, that Krishna's attention is on us. And therefore, let us chant in such a way, let us try our best to chant in such a way that Krishna will be happy with what he sees. That's our part, to try our best. If our best is on this level, well, we should chant on that level. If our best is a humble attempt, I'm going to try to hear one name of Krishna as I chant one mantra. Let us do that, but let us do it sincerely. Let us try our best. That's what I wanted to say. And I know also that it's easy to try one's best for short periods of time, say for like 5 seconds. But when we're chanting 32 rounds, 64 rounds, or even 16 rounds, to actually consistently be trying one's best it takes a lot. And that's why our Satchinanda Maharaj kept saying it's hard work. It's not hard work to chant 64 rounds, actually. Just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama. Just pushing beads and filling time. But to actually be conscious that Krishna's attention is on me and I want to be there with him. I want to be there with him. For so many births and so much of my time, even in this life, I haven't made so much of an effort to be there with him. But now I want to make that effort to be there with him. That is called sincerely chanting. On whatever level we're going to chant on, that is sincerely chanting, trying our best. When I bring a lot of books, it can be really dangerous. But I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Yes. Well, you can have my mic. Is there a microphone? Yes, for our Prabhu. Okay. Then say it very loudly, please. Best on. No, but how can you go to Vaikuntha unless you mind your own business, and when you're chanting your japa, chant japa. It's not for Vaikuntha. It's for lazy people. They just sit around eating grapes all day long, you know, like this. No, Vaikuntha is exalted. It's the spiritual world. So time tells. Time will tell where we're meant to go. But in any case, regardless of where we ultimately wish to be, in Vaikuntha, it's never cold. It's attractive. But regardless of what our ultimate is, individually ultimate, it's our time to sit and chant japa, we want to express our sincerity to be with Krishna. So if we want to be with Lord Narayan at this point, then we should. We can do that. But just do your best. And we're specifically speaking about right now in chanting japa. But whatever our service is, we should do it with a consciousness that this is for Krishna. And this is what Prabhupada's basic mood was. And he used to quote his Guru Maharaj, "Don't try and see Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna will see you." This is what it means. That Krishna, if we're trying, I'm going to go to Vrindavan and I'm going to be a whatever in Vrindavan, I'm going to serve in this way. We can't force our way in. It's going to be by mercy. So we have to act in such a way that Krishna says, "Oh, this devotee is so sincere and trying so hard to serve me. And he has so much love for me. Let me call him to me." That's what we're basically trying to do, to act in such a way that Krishna sees us. And when he sees us, his heart melts. Oh, this devotee is trying so hard. He's trying so hard. Let me be merciful to him. This is the essential message of Krishna's Damodar Leela, where Mother Yasoda is trying to tie up Krishna. And she's doing her parisrama, her hard work. But Krishna's Aishwarya Shakti is not allowing her to succeed. But then, because she's focused on trying to serve with great love, it evokes Krishna's Kripa Shakti, the king of all Krishna's Shaktis. And Krishna's heart, which is naturally as soft as butter, melts. And Mother Yasoda gains the ability to tie Krishna by the mercy of Krishna's Kripa Shakti. That's what we want. That's our model of chanting. How to chant in such a way, so sincerely, our attempt, so that Krishna's mercy is evoked. Because there's nothing we can actually do that's in our power. Because if you saw that slideshow last night about the mind-blowing one, the idea is we are infinitesimally small, and Krishna is infinitely great, and there is an infinite gap between us. And how are we going to bridge that gap? My power can't do it. On one level, there's nothing I can do. But Krishna's mercy is what does it. So how, when we're chanting, how to chant in such a way that Krishna feels his heart melts. And he decides, oh, okay, he's trying so hard. But Prabhupada, you have to say louder. What is? The Parabdha Karma vanishes. And so what's the question? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also mentions this in this very long purport. But Krishna gives, if our Parabdha Karma completely vanishes, our body is made of our Parabdha Karma. If it completely vanished and we had no Parabdha Karma, we would have no body and we would be dead. So but where would we go if we died at this point? So Krishna so kindly gives us something like our Parabdha Karma for the purpose that we can perfect our consciousness, and that is the purpose of our human life. To live through this tateinu kampamsu, it's like our karma, but coming through the mercy, through the hands, kind hands of Krishna, given to us in such a way that we can come back to him with that lesson attached to everything. So a devotee lives only in the mercy of Krishna, not in the mercy of his karma. And again, the purpose is to use our life properly, to learn from everything so that we attain love for him. That's all I could say about it right now. Yes, that's exactly the example of Ajamil. But Ajamil was still alive by the mercy of Krishna, of Lord Narayan, of Krishna. He was still alive. And what did he do? What did Ajamil immediately do? Huh? Before he did that, before he went to Haridwar, what did he do? He lamented, I have wasted my life, I have acted improperly. He was humble, and then he could take shelter properly. Unless we are humble, we cannot take shelter. So when we chant, and so many things come up in our consciousness which are not so favorable for pure devotion, that gives us plenty of reason, cause to lament humbly and recognize our need for shelter. Okay, any other questions? So
let me ask you a question. When we hear about Ajamil, did that increase your desire to chant in a proper way? That's the answer to your question. When you hear that Nanda Maharaj went into to the Yamuna and disappeared, and the residents of Vrindavan called out, Krishna, 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 and Krishna is heard everything, even though he was not nearby because of the word upashutya, does that increase your enthusiasm to chant? Hear Bhagavatam and learn how Krishna is unlimitedly merciful and unlimitedly powerful, and he is his name. And if you chant his name, he will, and take shelter of him, he will care for you. He can do it. He will do it. Does that increase? Okay. Yes, Mataji. And why do I have to?
Why do I have to
repeat? Repeat what? Why do I have to? The mind sometimes asks the question, why do I have to repeat this name over and over again? And because repetition becomes meaningless and counterproductive when we don't put our attention on what we are doing. Immediately, if you bring your attention to the holy names and hear one mantra, that vanishes instantaneously. So where does the fault lie? Krishna's attention is on me, but I am not reciprocating with him. My attention is on my long list, which has been created 99% to avoid putting my attention on Krishna. Life as a distraction from what the real purpose of my life is. That is the essential basic preaching that Prabhupada gave us in ISKCON, to tell people to use their life properly. Responsibly, use human life responsibly. And what is responsible use of human life? To turn to Krishna. And look at me, so unfortunate as I am, I have an attraction to turn away from Krishna. I am positively, definitely attracted to everything but Krishna. So who is more unfortunate than I am? And I'm not talking about you. I'm using the first person there. So we should become conscious of this tricky rascal mind and how it's ruining our life by demanding complete obedience to its whimsical, inconsistent, untrustworthy nature. Demands complete obedience to its whimsical, untrustworthy nature. So when we sit down and chant in these days, we should take our lists, put them aside, and call the bluff of the mind and say, okay, for all the rest of the year, I'm your obedient servant. But for these 2 days, for this week at the Japa retreat, when I chant your names, the names of Krishna, I'm not going to pull out my long list of excuses and perfect reasons to avoid you, but I'm going to confront the real issue. And I'm going to try to hear your holy name. And then, when we try to do that, fasten your seatbelt, because the mind will give you a little bit of a kick. Like a naughty child who
who spoiled and doesn't like it when it's neglected. So you tell your mind, yes, 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 yes. A little bit later, don't worry. But just right now, I want to hear one holy name. One holy name. That's all. And your mind may present so many images before you. Say, yes, 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 yes. But just right now, I want to hear one holy name. Be fixed in that sankalpa, that determination. And let your spiritual life blossom. Let your appreciation for the holy name blossom from that. And if you feel desperate at any time, then just say, Om Krishna. Coat your chanting with Om Krishna. Who needs more mercy than I do? And say the names of Nityananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva. And since, but the point is to get it to the point of sincerity, to acknowledge my actual condition, and then sincerely for want to change something, instead of being blasé, casual. Oh, anyway, my mind drives me crazy. It's going to kill me. Never mind. Who cares anyway? Just for this time, confront it. Become aware and beg for some shelter. Okay, so everyone make their long lists before we sit down to chant of all the things that are really urgent that we do, and then take it and put it away for later. Kal. Or as they say in Spanish, mañana. Same principle. Yes, yes, yes. But later. Yes. Who is that? Yes. Okay. But it's 9 o'clock, so this is the last. So the question is, does spiritual dissatisfaction have any value? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, said, oh, someone says to him that you have so much love for Krishna. And he replies, not in a pretentious, pretending way, but from his heart, that I don't have even the fragrance, what to speak of love for Krishna, the fragrance of love for Krishna hasn't entered my consciousness. But you're crying. He said, no, that's just pretense. Just to show my good fortune. If I had love for Krishna, and if I was separate from him, I would not be able to maintain my life. I would die. That is love for Krishna. That is Mahaprabhu's example. And that dissatisfaction becomes the greatest fuel for taking deeper and deeper shelter, for begging more and more sincerely for mercy, etc. But Prabhu, a little late now. Yeah, but later. We'll have a whole question and answer session, but later. Okay, today we try. Give it your best, give it your best, give it your best. And if dissatisfaction comes to you, see it as your friend. Welcome it. See it as your friend. Move sincerely towards chanting Krishna's name. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Radha Govinda ki jai, Radha Gopinatha ki jai, Sisi Gonatai ki jai, Giriraj Maharaj ki jai, Giriraj Maharaj Bhaktavinda ki jai.